Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
How is your spiritual life going? Need a little spiritual direction? Maybe got a tough situation you're going through that you could use some help with? Well, the chaplain is in today on Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest, and he is ready to take your call. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. This hour, we step back from our usual apologetics questions. So if you have a question about where purgatory is or why the beloved disciple is beloved or what is a Maccabee, just hold on for another hour with those questions. This hour, we address pastoral concerns and maybe dish out a little helpful advice. Father Vincent Serpa is a Dominican priest and the chaplain here at Catholic Answers. For this hour, he is your chaplain. Hello, Father Vincent.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine.
Good, good. How many years have you been a priest?
48.
So when, as a chaplain then, after 48 years as a priest, are you different than you were as a young priest?
Oh, gosh. You know, in a word, yes. You know, yeah. When I see that, there's a chain of clothing stores called Forever 21. And I look at that, and I think, oh my gosh, that would be hell. You know,
right.
Who wants to be 21 for the rest of your life?
Right.
I mean, you know so little. You have so little, you know, background. Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, thank you.
But you weren't ordained at 21.
No, I was 29. But, but I mean, still, my goodness. Oh.
So what do you learn as a person helping people through pastoral difficulties over, you know, almost five decades now? What's the thing that you learn? What is there a technique or is there a change of heart that happens in you as a priest? Or,
well, basically, hopefully you mature some. You learn by suffering, by, you know, making mistakes and screwing up and looking at why and acknowledging how much more you need the Lord. And it's humbling, but it never ends because, you know, we never can be mature enough. But that's how you really learn, by becoming more focused on the Lord and less selfish, or at least more aware of one's selfishness and how impossible it is to grow in any way without His help.
Yeah.
And that's the change. Those are the changes that really are significant.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I left, when I was pastor for 7 years in Los Angeles, and the last homily I gave at the parish, I told them that the most satisfying work I did in that whole time I was there was preparing people for death, because how you die is really everything. You know, and I've had people, you know, I remember anointing a man and we knew he was dying and he knew he was dying and that it was going to be very soon. And I remember asking him to pray to the Lord for me when he saw him, and late, you know, within a couple of hours, he had died and he was seeing the Lord, you know.
Right.
So many times I've dealt with people who've died. I remember a woman in the hospital in San Francisco, and she was, I don't know if I mentioned here, I mentioned it recently. I don't know if it was on the air or not, but she had a stomach cancer, and she could only receive ice chips in her mouth to keep her mouth moist, and she couldn't receive Holy Communion. So I would put the pyx with the Blessed Sacrament on her chest and let her put her hand over it for a little while, and I would pray while I did that. At first, I kept the prayer short because I thought she might be nauseous, but she let me know that she really looked forward to that, so then I would pray longer. And then one day I came up, and the bed was stripped, and I thought, now she knows better than I did the things that I said to her.
Yeah. You know?
Right. Well, I mean, that's first of all, you can't experience that and not be affected by it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But also, it made me realize that how we die is so, so very important, and in our culture, we don't think in terms of that at all.
No.
You know? And we look at death as something to be ignored and to not think about. It's morbid. it's not morbid. I mean, any more than the crucifix is morbid. Some people think it is. It's not. It's an expression of love.
Right.
And
right.
It is the one thing that can give us hope. It's the only thing that gives us hope, really. It's the greatest gift we have, that knowledge that we matter that much to Almighty God. And so the more often we reflect on the crucifix daily, you know, especially if we can do it before the Blessed Sacrament, because again, he's localized in the Eucharist.
Right.
That enlivens us, and it puts everything into perspective. No matter what's going on that's problematic, suddenly what matters most is there, and it's stable, and it's not going away. And you can relax, mm-hmm. you know, and everything falls into place after that, because that's the highest value. And that we have no matter what goes wrong. And that gives us peace. You know, we're not struggling to try to work it all out, because it's not all up to us. It's up to him. And he's made his stand. He's expressed his love for us. It's just for us to respond to that love. But how many Catholics realized that this is why they're Catholics? This is what it means to be a Catholic, to daily respond to that kind of love, and to recognize that you know, the crucifix says a lot about God's love, but it says a lot about us, because we're loved that much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the person who lives that way, that their life is a response to the love of God shown in Christ to us, when that person faces death, it's preparation for a reunion.
Certainly.
Really,
mm-hmm.
really. And in your experience of people dying, that they're aware of this, that this is something that's actually a comfort to people?
I won't say that. I mean, I've had people die while I'm anointing them. I didn't even know they had died as I was doing it.
You
know, one day I was in, it was an elderly lady, and I went to anoint her. And when I came out of the room, the nurse came in and said, was she breathing? I said, well, she was when I came in. We went back and we recognized that she had died. It was just so peaceful. Mm-hmm. And another time, I think it was in Portland, at Holiday Hospital. I think it's Holiday, they call it. Anyway, I went in, and the lady was – her eyes were blinking when I went in, and her family was around the bed. And at one point, her brother said, is she still breathing? And I said, I don't know. And then the nurse came in, and she had died just very peacefully as I was anointing her. I mean, it's a great way to go.
Wow, I know.
So, as far as people, I was telling somebody the other day about a man who was a good person. He never went to church. His children and his wife did, but he didn't. But he had been good in many ways, and so I was called. He had cancer. He was in the hospital, and I came in and I anointed him. And part of the sacrament, you know, I lay my hands on the person's head and pray silently. And he said, oh, your hands are so cool. Well, I thought he was unconscious. So then I talked to him a little bit. I said, are you sorry for your sins? He said, oh, yes. And it was interesting. When I said that, his two sons started to cry, because it hit them. They realized, first of all, that their father was coming back to God, and that he was leaving them.
Right.
And but when I left, I went out into the hall and just kind of leaned against the hall and realized that was really the work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord, you know, did not ignore the good that he did in his life. He had been a good dad in many ways.
Right.
And and there it was. He was dying in the Lord's arms. It was a good thing, you know. And I was fortunate to see
your hands as a priest to represent Christ there for him. What a magnificent thing. 888-318-7884 is the number if you have a question for Father Serpa. Anything having to do with the spiritual life, maybe a problem in your life, maybe something you're struggling with. We have several callers on the line, so you want to get on the line if you'd like to speak with Father Serpa. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. I am your host, Cy Killett. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back to take calls.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hey everyone, this is Carlo Broussard. I've got a challenge for you. It's called the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half. and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then, we're going to take $10 from each set purchase and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase, going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Together, we can be a part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 6, when Jesus came to his native place and began to teach in the synagogue, the people were at first impressed, but because they knew his origins, they refused to take him seriously. So he did not perform many mighty deeds there, apart from curing a few sick people. How familiar has he become to us in the sense that we don't expect much from him? If we've been Catholics all our lives, how much for granted do we take our faith? If we can become numb to the qualities of those with whom we live and can see each day, then what about him whom we cannot see? We need to see him daily. A good place to start is by reading Scripture or meditating on a crucifix. St. Thomas Aquinas said that he learned more from looking at the cross than from any book he ever read. When we truly desire to behold him in our lives, we will. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Catholic Answers Chaplain Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour as we push pause on our usual apologetics questions and tackle spiritual, emotional, or family issues. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you'd like to speak with Father Serpa, if you could use some pastoral advice or some help with a spiritual or family problem, that's 888-318-7884. And Father, let's go to the phones. Justin in Emmitsburg, Maryland, listening on the Catholic Answers podcast. Your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello. I would like to know if participating or competing in professional boxing would be immoral if you're doing it because of the sport you love and it's something that you can – that's the only way to move up is to get professional. And I just want to know if it's immoral.
Well, there are a number of football players who are asking the same question because of punching someone else or doing damage to someone else, but simply what they do to themselves or what at least happens to themselves. To make yourself a punching bag is basically what you're doing. Do you think that's moral? It seems to me it's not good for you. And if it's not good for you, it's a lot worse for you, I think, than some of the other things that have become passé, like smoking. You know, I won't say it's more immoral, but it's certainly in the neighborhood because it's doing your body harm. And then later on in your life, you pay a big price for it. Do you think it's worth it? You know, is it worth it? Is it going to be worth it to your spouse and your family? You know, those are the questions you have to ask yourself, even though, it's in your blood and you really like it. Is it worth it? You know, that's a hard question, but that's one you have to answer for yourself. I don't see how it could be moral. I mean, if you didn't know and you didn't think about it, but the fact is, when you actually look at people, being hit like that, it's got to be not good for your skull, for your face, your brain. I can't see how it is, but that's a decision you have to make. I'm not making it for you. I'm just showing you that I personally don't see how it can be. When we begin to learn from people in the medical profession what it does, the harm that it does to the body. I'm sure that's not the answer you wanted me to give you, but it's the only one I can give.
Does that resonate with what you were thinking, Justin?
Yes, I was just, obviously, if you one knockout and I'd be done, I would never do it again if that would happen. And obviously, I wouldn't go into, I'm not going to try to be world champion, but mm-hmm. it's something that I love. I've been debating it. I'm 34 now. I'd like to move forward with just to try one fight, two fights. I probably wouldn't ever do any more than 10, and just be done with it because
only takes
but
one.
I can see that as long as mm-hmm. it's not inherently evil.
You know, the thing is, it's a gamble. I mean, I've got to tell you because it can happen. You know, once. Doing it once can be enough, you know, can be lethal. But, you know, I mean, if you've got the wearing the, if you're practicing, you have all that contraption in your head, you know, that's not so bad. But to actually go out there and without any protection and just, you know, have the other person's fist in your face, wow, that's pretty strong stuff. But we'll keep you in our prayers.
And a lot to think about, Justin. Yeah. Thank you for that call. We will go to Michael in Los Angeles, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Michael, the chaplain is in. What's your question for Father Vincent Serpa?
Thank you, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. So I remember hearing at one time that evil would be overcome through the rosary and the scapular. Mm-hmm. And I think I have my head around the rosary. I say it frequently. But can you explain the significance of the scapular and how we're supposed to use it?
Well, the scapular is a sacramental. You know, it's not a sacrament in itself. It's a sacramental. It's a good thing. It is a representation of one's devotion to our Blessed Mother is what it is. It's not magic. The reason one wears a scapular is because one has committed oneself to her honor, not in worship. We don't worship Mary, but we acknowledge how holy she is because she's so close to her son. And, you know, we want her in our lives and we want her to pray for us. And so we commit ourselves to her in this special way by wearing this badge and by being enrolled in this society. It means praying to her, asking her help, and asking her to pray for us. We're told that, you know, when we die the first Saturday, after we've died, she'll bring us to heaven. Now, of course, you know, after we die, we're no longer in time. So I don't know, they have Saturdays outside of time, but that doesn't matter. What matters is, that she will, you know, if we wear her badge, we become her badge, and she prays for us and presents her to her son as one who is close to her. And the reason we do this is because she is his mother, because of who he is. Mary would not matter to us if it weren't for him. He is why she's so special. And so when we identify ourselves with her as our mother, we're identifying ourselves with him as our Savior. So it's a good thing to do, and so is the rosary. You know, the rosary is an actual form of actually praying, where the scapular is a badge that we wear, but it represents prayers that we offer. Does that help?
Yes, very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, Michael. I'm actually kind of disappointed to hear there might not be Saturdays in heaven.
Oh, really? Is that right?
I love Saturdays.
I do, too.
I would really like there to be Saturdays.
Well, whatever,
maybe it's all Saturdays.
Well, it could be.
Or Sundays, I suppose.
Whatever you like here is, you know, the source of all good is there. So, I remember when I was a kid, the kids wanted to ask the sister if there were rodeos in heaven. In California, we call them rodeos. And she said, yes, there are. And I thought, there can't be. But, yeah, I mean, if it floats your boat, fine, you know.
So there's no cats in heaven.
Well, there are for people who like cats.
Not my part, Father. Okay, 888-31-TRUTH is the number. 888-318-7884 is the number. The chaplain is in today. We're taking questions on the spiritual life, maybe a spiritual struggle, emotional struggle that you are having and you would like to speak with the chaplain about. We go to Steve in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on 1190 AM. Steve, you're on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hey, how are you guys doing over there?
Well,
very
we're doing
well.
Okay, yeah.
Excellent. I have a question that has more to do with the Catholic community at large. I heard recently about the Knights of Malta. The mm-hmm. Knights of Columbus seem to be relatively active in this parish that I'm recently involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, of course, other lay groups that attach themselves to the Catholic Church. And I would like to know, how do those lay orders, if that's what they're called, how do they fit in with the Catholic world, and how does the Catholic Church view such groups?
Well, I've never heard the Knights of Columbus is referred to as an order. They're a society of men who support the church in many ways. My father was a Knight of Columbus. But the Knights of Malta are unique. They are referred to as an order, but they're not a religious order in the sense, say, the Dominicans, the order to which I belong, are. They don't make the three vows of religious life, you know, the three public vows of celibate, chastity, poverty, and obedience. But they do make a commitment, and they are – I'm learning about them. I didn't know that much about them either until they became in the news lately, and I didn't realize that they were a sovereignty kind of separate from the Vatican, and that they have a certain status that's unique to them. And now they're in hot water because of some difficulties of some of their leadership. And all of these, you know, have a historical significance in the church. I mean, they came about because of certain events in certain places. I don't know that much about the Knights of Malta, so I can't give you too much more than that. But I know that they're not certainly the same as the Knights of Columbus. Knights of Columbus, first of all, are much more numerous, and you find them in many, many parishes. Where the Knights of Malta seem to be a little more exclusive, and usually, from what I gather, they tend to be more influential and done favors for the church in some way, and are acknowledged for their generosity to the church. It seems to me there's some of that there, but I don't know the full story. But you can Google them and get the rest, get the information on that too. You know?
Thanks, Steve. I can tell you this. Mm-hmm. If you need help with something, you can ask the Knights of Columbus.
Yes, that's true.
I'm not as familiar with the Knights of Malta, so mm-hmm. It's not a comparison. But right. I know in Catholic radio, every time we're opening a new city or we need help getting a station or something, the Knights of Columbus are so helpful.
They are, yes.
They're very committed to assisting the church in all of her works.
They are, and they're very good about fostering vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. The magazine they come up with every month always has a back page with a saluting some young religious, young priest with a little write-up about him. When I was ordained, my mother and my father were guests of honor at Knights of Columbus dinner because one of the brother knights had a son who just was ordained a priest. It's a very big thing, and as I look back on it, I'm really happy that my parents were the recipients of that, because they're responsible for my vocation. You know, one of the things I recognize very, very clearly is the connection between the vocation of parenthood and that of the priesthood and religious life. And I'm very much aware of my parents' marriage and everything I do as a Dominican.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot to mention this earlier. So before we go to the break here at the bottom of the hour, we're on Facebook Live today, Father. So these cameras are not just sitting here. They're actually capturing. I was going to say recording. I don't know if we're recording anything, but they're capturing. Okay. Look at you sit up a little bit there. Okay. Well, so you can find us on Facebook Live at the Catholic Answers Facebook page if you would like to see as well as hear what is going on here in the studio. The chaplain is in today. That means that we are taking a little break. We're stepping back just a little bit from our usual apologetics, and we're taking questions on the spiritual life, questions on maybe on family life, issues having to do with spiritual development, all that kind of thing. I do want to let you know before we go to the break, again, 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Catholic Answers has a series of 20 books called the 20 Answer Series. And for the month of February, when you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the 20 Answer Series, the price is going to be half price for all of it. And we're challenging you to finish them this Lent and Easter season. That gives you until June 4th. I'm going to give you a little more information about how you can get them when we come back, but you can just go to Catholic.com and visit the 20 Answers section there at Catholic.com, and you get the whole set for half price this month, or go to 888-291-8000. I am Cy Kellett, your host. I'm here with Father Vincent Serpa, the chaplain at Catholic Answers. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers clear arguments so anyone can master defending the fundamentals of our Catholic faith. They also arm the reader to converse intelligently about critical moral and cultural topics facing the church today, such as abortion, end-of-life issues, and the growth of Islam. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the complete set of all 20 books in the series, we will cut the price in half, and we're challenging you to read them all by the end of Lent. What a great preparation for Easter. But wait, there's more. Catholic Answers is going to take $10 from each set purchased and use it to provide materials to our good friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets, and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Let's do something great for the kingdom. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today. In fact, why not buy two sets and challenge a friend to take the 20 Answers Challenge? That's 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Author and blogger Shane Kapler says, "The apostasy that wasn't is sure to be one of the best written histories you'll ever encounter." Rod Bennett is an astonishingly talented writer, and he successfully brings to life the most tumultuous period in church history. Order your copy of The Apostasy That Wasn't today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The chaplain is in. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you here with us. Our number, 888-318-7884. This hour, if you have questions about your own spiritual life, family life, relationships that you would like the chaplain to assist with, please give us a call at that number, 888-31-TRUTH. You know, I was mentioning the Catholic Answer, the challenge this month, the 20 Answers Challenge, that Catholic Answers has these books. They're called 20 Answers, and there's 20 of them, and you can get them all for half price this month on Catholic.com. But what I forgot to mention, Father, was that $10 of every purchase is going to go to the folks at St. Paul Street Evangelization. And this is a magnificent ministry. For those of you who know St. Paul Street Evangelization, they're out sharing the good news, sharing the truth about the Catholic Church in all kinds of places and on street corners. And they do it politely and lovingly and generously. But we're really happy to be able to support them with this. So not only will you get half off the entire series of the 20 Answers books, but $10 of your purchase will go to assist the evangelization work of the St. Paul Street Evangelization folks. 888-318-7884 is our number. As I mentioned, we're also on Facebook Live, Father. And so we have a question from Carol on Facebook Live. She says that she's joining us for the first time. First of all, thanks and welcome, Carol. I need help with a problem. My ex-husband has been given 2 to 3 weeks to live. And we're both very sorry to hear that, Karen. He's a baptized Lutheran. I'm a Catholic, raised our kids Catholic. How do I manage to get him to accept Jesus? Now, I'm going to just assume there, Father, that the fact that he's Lutheran is not the part that's keeping him from Jesus. No. But apparently, for some reason, he has not accepted Jesus, and he's approaching the end of his life.
Okay. Well, I would I assume he knows that he's dying, and it's not a pleasant experience for him. He's ill, and ill to the point of dying. He might reflect on the fact that we as Christians believe that God became incarnate. We celebrate that at Christmas time. Took on a human nature and showed us how much he loves us in a way that we can understand. To say that his love for us is infinite, it remains in the abstract. But this is not abstract. The cross was not abstract. The suffering he endured was real, and he was willing to experience that because we matter to him. I mean, that's how much he loves us and how much he wants us. All he asks is that we accept that invitation and love him back, and thank him for it, give him you know, place ourselves at his disposal. And as one is preparing for death, he has everything to gain by giving himself to Christ, and nothing to lose by doing that. So I would encourage him to do that. Maybe even show him a crucifix and reflect that this is who God is, and he showed us that this is who he is, and he loves him. And so that his death isn't ex-husband's death is not an expression of failure or expression of God's disfavor or punishment. It's the opportunity for him to be united with a God that loved him enough to share death with him.
And Carol, thanks very much for joining us here at Catholic Answers Live. If you would like to join us, we're on Facebook Live. You just go to the Catholic Answers Facebook page and you can see, I guess when you go to the page, you just see it, right, Nick? Okay, Nick says yes. And we'll go now to Tom in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on KHOJ. Tom, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Good evening, Father.
Hi.
First off, I do want to thank you for your priesthood and for all that you do for the body of Christ. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
My question is exactly opposite of the question you just answered, and that is my father just died a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. He was a very great and holy and Catholic man his whole life. He suffered heroically with his disease. He received anointing of the sick several times. I think even the last time was a week before he died. He had a very beautiful and peaceful and holy death. And now has many friends and relatives offering masses up for him. And my question is now, when I pray, I keep flipping back and forth, is do I pray for him as a suffering soul in purgatory to ensure he makes it to heaven quickly? Or do I look at all the evidence and assume that surely he's in heaven now and turn to him as a saint to intercede for me and help me? And sometimes I pray to him as a saint. Sometimes I pray for him as a suffering soul, and I just don't know how do I know or when do I know or how long do I wait to assume his entrance into heaven.
Well, God usually doesn't tap us on the shoulder, although when my father died, I was pastor in Los Angeles, and when I came back to the parish from the funeral and was standing outside after Mass on the following Sunday, I was talking to some people, and all of a sudden a man said to me, "Your father is in heaven." And I looked at him, and he was just a very ordinary-looking man. There was nothing exceptional about him. He had a suit and tie on. And I said, "Well, we certainly hope so. We're certainly praying for this." And I looked at the people again, and he said it again. He looked straight at me. He said, "Your father is in heaven." And I said it again. I said, "Well, we certainly hope he is, and we're praying for him." And then when I went to look at him again, he was gone. And I thought, wow. That's really something. It'd be wonderful if he was, my guardian angel or somebody, but I didn't know, for sure. And then the next day, I was in the priory upstairs by myself, and there was nobody on the second floor, nobody. And I was in my office, and I had heard a door open and close, and I got spooked. I got cold feet. I said, "Dad, I love you, but I don't want to see you." And so, I mean, I don't know why I did that, but I mean, I don't know why, first of all, I don't know why I didn't ask the guy, "How do you know?" But it never occurred to me, because I wasn't expecting it. So I remember calling my mother and my sister and telling her about it, and it was encouraging, but I still pray for him. I don't know that he is in heaven for sure. And then when my mother died just a couple of years ago, I was talking to a diocesan priest, and he said that he still prays for his mother and to his mother, just as you do. And that's, you'll be doing that the rest of your life. The prayers won't go to waste if she's in heaven. But we don't do those souls any good by not praying for them. We never know if they need it or not. And also, it's an expression of our love for them and our love for the Lord as well. So I encourage you to do both. And it's a little tension there, but both are good, because if your mother is in heaven, that's great. And if she's not there yet, your prayers are doing her some good. So you can't lose.
Right. Yeah, it was my father.
Your father.
And then is it wrong of me to ask the Lord you know, let me know in my heart. Is that a long prayer to ask of him?
Well, you can ask it, but don't expect him to answer, because it's this matter of trusting him. That's a really big thing with him, because it's so good for us. When we trust him, we're expressing love for him, and that's good for us. So he wants us to do more of it, you know. So you can ask him, but as I say, don't expect an answer.
Right, but in the meantime, just pray in both circumstances.
You certainly
can.
Can
ask my dad for his intercession, and at the same time, ask for his
absolutely
release.
And another thing to be sensitive to is when you receive the Lord in the Eucharist and you can feel the host of your mouth, you are very close to your parents at that, to your loved ones who have died. And if they're in his bosom, you know, you're all three together. You know, it's not only a communion with you and Jesus, it's a communion with you and all those he loves, including your loved ones.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father, very much.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much. We'll, 888-318-7884 is the number if you would like to talk with Father Vincent Serpa. The chaplain is in today, meaning we're taking questions on your spiritual life, maybe something that's of spiritual concern to you or concern about a family or issue or a family member. We'll go to John now in New Jersey, listening on 1210 AM. John, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And for the previous caller, I just want to, if I can, just suggest something that I did when my grandparents passed away. Mm-hmm. During the Doors of Mercy, I did a plenary indulgence for them, mm-hmm. By going through the Doors of Mercy. And so maybe he can check into how he can do one of those for
To get a plenary indulgence, all you need, the easiest one I know of, is to, you know, do pray for the Pope, you know, the Our Father, Hail Mary, Apostles' Creed. Within 5 days before or after, go to confession. Say 5 decades of the Rosary before the Blessed Sacrament, and you get a plenary indulgence. That's the easiest one I know of. And you can do that anytime. So, I would encourage him to do that. But even after you've done that, still continue praying for them, just to make sure. Okay.
And John, your question for Father?
Yes. So my question, Father, is if you can speak in general about discernment of our lives, mm-hmm. as Catholics, as Christians, past discerning your vocation as far as marriage, you know, priesthood or the single life, mm-hmm. but just vocationally, like career-wise, like, and different things, like how do we know if we're actually doing God's will in our life? Or not, and things like, for example, if God has a call for you to, we obviously all have gifts, and God wants us to use those gifts to do something individually and uniquely in this world.
Certainly,
is it possible to miss that call based on our actions? And how does the sovereignty of God interplay with our personal free will and things of that nature?
So okay, John, that seems very clear. Let Father Vincent take a shot.
First of all, don't worry too much. You know, mistakes are allowed. Mistakes are okay. We learn through mistakes. The Lord allows us to make mistakes, so long as we don't deliberately, make a mistake, but, you know, to make the wrong choice. And because the old Portuguese saying goes, God writes straight with crooked lines. And they seem crooked to us, but they're straight to him. So that our lives go all over the place. But as long as we're trying to do his will as best we understand it, that counts. It's okay. Even though it seems like gone up a blind alley, it really isn't. Because so long as we want to do his will and we try our best, that's okay. And the thing is, we shouldn't be surprised at mistakes, because that's how we learn. I mean, no person ever just sits down at a piano and begins to play without ever having made mistakes. I mean, the whole process is making one mistake after another and eliminating them little by little, you know. So don't be too hard on yourself, and don't worry too much about it. You're in the Lord's hands to begin with. And as long as you want to do what he wants, you don't have to have a clear plan in front of you. In fact, nobody ever does. Our Blessed Mother didn't. She didn't know what was happening from one time to the next. She just trusted him. And even though it looked like, you know, she was with child, and she wasn't, she certainly hadn't lived with St. Joseph yet. And what were people going to say? You know, she could be stoned for adultery. And but she trusted, and it all worked out. And that's how it is with all of us. That help?
Thank you, Father.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, John. We appreciate that question. We'll take a break now. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live. If you have a question regarding your spiritual life or a family issue, and you would like to speak with the chaplain, Catholic Answers chaplain, Father Vincent Serpa, 888-318-7884 is the number. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, everyone, this is Carlo Broussard. I've got a challenge for you. It's called the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half. And we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then, we're going to take $10 from each set purchase and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase, going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Together, we can be a part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
What are miracles, and why does God work them? How can I believe in miracles if I've never experienced one? Aren't miracles just something pre-scientific people made up to explain what they couldn't understand? 20 Answers Miracles unpacks the nature of miracles, their appearances in Scripture and history, how the Church evaluates them, and ways to answer doubters who say they're mere superstition. 20 Answers Miracles is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Next hour on Catholic Answers Live, Marcellino D'Ambrosio will be here. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio will be here to talk about the virtue of temperance. We're going to talk about moderation and the Church's moral teaching, how it's there to humanize us, not there to make us just follow a list of rules. I think it's going to be a fantastic talk. I hope you will – or it's going to be a fantastic hour. I hope you'll listen in this hour. Father Vincent Serpa, chaplain at Catholic Answers, is here with us, and the chaplain is in, which means we are taking questions pertaining to the practical side of the spiritual life for this hour. Father, listening on or watching on Facebook Live, Juan Pablo writes the following. I was viewing Trent Horn's video about abortion. And he says that we should find nonviolent solutions for this issue. And I was wondering why our own salvation was, I suppose, won for us in the most violent way possible. Thank you for your help.
Well, the fact is, it was won over through nonviolence. I mean, our Lord wasn't the violent one. It was the people who were crucifying who were the violent ones. Our Lord was the most nonviolent of all. He received and didn't give back. He didn't give what he received. He loved people back. So with abortion, abortion is a violent thing too. It's in its own way, it's quite violent. I mean, it takes away a human life, just as our Lord's life was taken away, except in a different way, not as long or as painful a situation, but nonetheless, It's the taking of innocent life, as our Lord's was. But the violence came from those who were not loving, who were going against what our Lord stands for. And so our Lord shows us that his love for us, when we love, is the most powerful thing we have. It's far more powerful than the doing of evil. And he showed how love in the end conquers evil and is not conquered by it, despite the fact that it seems so at the time. So our Lord was the king of nonviolence in a sense. So the violence was there, just as it's present in abortion. But the violence wasn't coming from our Lord any more than it is coming from those who are pro-life.
And we're supposed that this is both salvific for us,
yeah,
but it's also an instruction for us.
Sure.
It's also it teaches us. Christ on the cross teaches us what it is to be a full human being like he was.
He shows us how to live, yeah, how to love.
Mm-hmm. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go to Sheila, listening in Columbia, South Carolina on EWTN. Sheila, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, Father.
Hi.
I have a question. I'm a spiritual director, and one of my directees came to me, and I didn't know how to answer this question in a way that would make sense. She wanted to know if she had sinned against she had made the unforgivable sin against the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
A
lot of people will obsess on this one because it's the unforgivable sin, you know. But it's really a way of short circuiting ourselves. The unforgivable sin is the unwillingness to accept the Holy Spirit's power to help us. So it's only unforgivable because we make it so. It's not that we've done something and God can't forgive us. God will always forgive us if we seek his forgiveness. But God will not forgive us if we refuse his forgiveness. And that's what the unforgivable sin is. I'm having trouble with my diction right now. But it's not a sin that God can't forgive. It's the person refusing to allow God to forgive it. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. So it's not a sin that can't be forgiven.
Oh,
it's
no,
just
no.
That they feel that
they won't let it happen. Yeah. They're complete control on that one. It's not like it's coming from outside. It's coming from in them. Insofar as they're sorry and they acknowledge they've sinned, the Lord will always forgive them. That is very forgivable. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Sheila, we go to Francis in Portland, Oregon, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Francis, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I keep sinning all the time.
I see.
I wonder if I could stop sinning, or anything, people could stop sinning for good.
Well, we keep trying. That's the important thing. You just keep trying to repent and to sin, to live a sinless life. It doesn't matter doesn't matter so much whether we stop sinning as that we die trying to stop sinning. We keep trying to do the Lord's will, despite the fact that we're weak. So don't worry about it. Just keep your eyes on the Lord and recognize that he's a merciful God and he loves you, even when you fail. Okay?
I go to confession once a month, confess the same sin, but I try to do not to sin. But
okay, well, then you're pleasing to the Lord. Just keep it up and you'll be okay. All right.
Thank you for answering my question.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I think that's one of the things we get into. We're almost ashamed to go to confession sometimes because we know it's the same thing over and over. Isn't that the case?
But, you know, we also forget that the priest is a human being and a sinner also.
Yeah.
And he's as aware of that sort of thing in himself as he is, as we are, you know.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. I have the unique... opportunity when I go to confession. Usually confessor, when I finish, he takes his stole off and I put it on me, on my shoulders, and I hear his confession. And it's really nice because it makes us realize that, you know, the one who's really hearing the confessions is the Lord, and he's there with both of us.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Another question from Facebook Live. Both hours today are Facebook Live. That's okay. I have to keep checking with Nick. Yes, Nick says both hours are Facebook Live today. And we go to, well, we don't go to. Bobby on Facebook Live asks, why is an annulment important when you are already divorced and remarried?
Well, it's important if you want to get your marriage made valid. Because at that point, your marriage is not, because you're married out of the church, and so the church does not recognize that. And because first of all, you can't be married to two people, and if you are still married, if your first marriage is valid, then the second one is not a valid marriage just automatically. But if it can be shown that some necessary element was missing in the first wedding at the time of the wedding. Then the marriage is recognized as null, and then your second marriage can be validated and made valid, and then you can receive Holy Communion and all the rest. So I was going to say, is that okay? But it's written.
I'll speak for Bobby. That was great, Father.
Oh,
thanks.
Okay, fine, sure,
I took on the role of Bobby there for a minute.
Okay.
My acting talents are really being put to the test lately. We go to Anonymous in San Diego, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Anonymous, the chaplain is in today. You have a question for the chaplain here at Catholic Answers, Father Vincent Serpa.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I've really been struggling lately because I do live currently with my boyfriend. And, I mean, ultimately the goal is marriage. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, I keep praying, you know, praying and hoping that that's where we're going to end up being married. And sometimes I feel hopeful that if I keep praying, you know, that I'll either be, you know, we'll either be granted the grace and enter into marriage, or, you know, we'll be out of each other's lives one way or the other. And so I'm just wondering, because of the fact that I'm currently living with him, so that's my sin, that's my struggle, are my prayers even valid? Are they even, like, worth God, you know, taking the time to listen to my prayers? Or the fact that I'm living in sin mean that my prayers are just out there?
Well, if you want the Lord to hear you, stop sinning. You can't be going in two directions at the same time. You know, if you want the Lord's pleasure, then don't displease him, you know? Stop living with him. It wouldn't kill you, you know? So you've got the answer. You just need to follow it.
And that was a fortunately very pithy answer, Father, because we come to the end of our program. Can we get your blessing before we go, Father?
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Father Vincent Serpa. And next hour, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio will be here. We're going to talk about the virtue of temperance. We're going to talk about moderation. We're going to talk about the Catholic moral life and how that can help you be a human being, a real, true, full human being. Join us when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.